First lesson is in Genesis 11. Now, the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, bitumen for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed all over the face of the earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have one language. This is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, and so that they may not understand one other's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, the name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them all over the face of the earth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read Psalm 143 responsively. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy.
In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness,
enter not into judgment with your servant.
For no one living is righteous before you.
For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground.
He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead.
Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled.
I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands.
I stretch out my hands to you.
My soul thirsts for you like a parched land.
Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails.
Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit.
Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust.
Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul.
Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge.
Teach me to do your will, for you are my God.
Let your good spirit lead me on level ground.
For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life.
In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble.
And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies.
And you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul.
For I am your servant.
The second reading is in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the apostles were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. And we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying one to another, 'What does this mean?' But others, mocking, said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For those people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit all on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams, shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in the heavens, above the signs, on the earth, below, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise as we are able for our Alleluia.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated, and I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. Good evening. I could say happy birthday, right? Because it's Pentecost, it's the birthday of the church, and who's the church? We are, right? The bride of Jesus, the ones who are filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with wind and fire. Tonight I thought we would talk about wind and fire. Do you like wind? Do you like fire? It can be good, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you could have a barbecue and you need some fire, you know, to maybe roast hash browns. Yeah, exactly. You could have marshmallows and s'mores, right? So fire can be good, but if you don't control it, fire could burn down a house or a forest, right? Yeah. Let me show you a picture in the paper here. Do you know what happened this past Tuesday? You see this? It says, Dad, the roof's gone. I know where this place is, right, Janet? Yeah, Janet told me about it even before I read it in the paper. On Tuesday night, we had a big windstorm. Right now, there's just a little breeze coming from that fan, right? But if you turn a fan all the way up, then it can get pretty loud, right? Like a roar. Look what happened. There was such a strong wind that it knocked down, do you say 10 trees, Janet?
Quite a lot of
trees. Trees knocked down. The wind just blew them over, right? And it took the roof off of the house? Wind and fire is good, but you got to be careful. You did, huh? The wind. Because you can't always see the wind, but you can see what it does, right? The wind will make a loud noise, like a roar, and the wind will, have you ever noticed how it moves things? Wind will move things, won't it? Yep. In the Bible, John the Baptist said that when Messiah Jesus comes, he is going to baptize you with wind and fire. In other words, what is it that God wants to burn away or blow away in us? You know what that's called? Sin, right? God wants to destroy the sin in us, and then God wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit so that we get a nice, cool breeze, huh? So that the wind can move us, not just the roof of a house or blow down a tree, but so that God's wind, the Holy Spirit, can move us also. Now, why do you think God would want to move us? Huh? Why would God want to give us the wind and the fire of the Holy Spirit? Why would God want to move us? Huh? Because there are people that don't know about Jesus. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't move us and doesn't breathe in us and through us, how are people going to find out about Jesus? And how are people going to get saved? So you see, that's why God gave you the Holy Spirit. That's why God put this flame of fire, this tongue, upon your head and made you one of his Pentecost people so that you could be so full of the mighty rushing wind of God, the Holy Spirit, so that you could tell people about Jesus. That's what this Mega Kids Camp is about. And I know the Edwards boys, you guys went last year to it. Right? It's an opportunity for people that might not belong to any church at all to learn about Jesus and to learn about how this wind of God is blowing away our sin, and this wind of God is providing faith so that we can get saved. Will you pray with me? Let's pray together, okay? Want to fold your hands on? Dear Jesus, thanks for the wind and fire. Make noise and blow strong. Use me to reach others. Amen. Okay, you got to get moving now, right? Yep, Holy Spirit is going to move you. You see what happens with a little bit of breeze? Huh? A little bit of breeze. And then it starts blowing. And it'll send things flying, like the roof on a house or like a tree in the neighborhood. Tonight we're celebrating Pentecost. And what does it mean for us to be Pentecost people? And what does it mean for us to be literally moved by the mighty rushing wind of God? When people hear the word Pentecostal, they oftentimes think of, you know, like holy rollers, or they think about people maybe with glossolalia, speaking in tongues. But Pentecostal is not primarily a category or a classification within Christianity. Pentecostal is who we are as Pentecost people, and Pentecost is the birth of the church. And the gift of God is the Holy Spirit that makes noise and moves God's people into action. It's all about more power to you. You've heard that phrase, more power to you. Well, that's what Pentecost is. And being filled every day in the washing of renewal and regeneration in the Holy Spirit as we are, in fact, living our baptism, filled with the Holy Spirit, so that God can move us into the mission field and share the good news of Jesus. More power to ya. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Power. It's all about promise. At the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus says, just stay. Stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. The book of Acts, chapter 1, begins with Jesus on the 40th day of Easter having a conversation with his disciples. And they say to him, Lord, is now the time? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel right now? And Jesus says, it's not for you to know times and seasons that have been fixed and determined by your Father in heaven. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The word for power is dunamis, from which we get our English word dynamite. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit is explosive in our lives so that we can be purpose-driven people. Why the power? Well, so that we can be God's witnesses, and the word witness is the Greek word marturion, from which we get our English word martyr, which means someone who lives their whole life for the faith of Jesus. You shall receive power. I've got the power. You've got the power. We've got the power, not because we create the power or that we control the power. No, it's because we've been clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. And God continues to fill us with the Spirit of the crucified and risen Jesus so that we can proclaim the mighty acts of God. So that Pentecost might not just simply be a Jewish harvest festival, one of the three pilgrimage festivals, so that it might not just be simply a happening 2,000 years ago, but so that it might in fact be our daily breathing and the mission that God has given to each one of us to participate in. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb, and we have been covered and clothed with that power and with the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. More power to ya. That's what Pentecost is. And that's what Jesus wants to give you tonight and tomorrow and the next day and each day thereafter. More power to ya, so that you can bear witness to the way and the truth and the life. The name of Jesus, because as you heard in our reading for tonight, Acts chapter 2, verse 21, it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. That means it's important what God has called you and me to participate in. All because we are Pentecostal. And that simply means that we are filled with the Holy Spirit for the preaching of Jesus in word and in deed and in daily life. There was a story that I read this past week about a Pentecostal pet shop. Maybe you saw it too. I hadn't heard about a Pentecostal pet shop, but there was a Baptist couple and they wanted to get a puppy, and so they were walking down the street to the pet shop and they saw a Pentecostal pet shop and they thought, huh. And in the back there was some little puppies and the sign said, Christian puppies. Well, if you're Baptist and you hear that there are some Christian puppies and you're looking for a dog, talk about a lucky day, huh? So They asked the owner, "Tell me," he said, "how is it that you know that these puppies are Christian?" And the owner said, "Well, I'll show you." So he took one of the puppies out of that fenced in area, and he says, "Watch this. Go fetch that Bible." And the little puppy went running down there, got the Bible, and brought it back to the owner. And this couple, this Baptist couple, they're just amazed. And he says, "Now watch this. Find Psalm 23. And the little puppy uses its little paws, right, and gets it open to Psalm 23. "We want that puppy," the couple said. "Sold. This is great. This is the best day ever." They bought the puppy. They took it home. That night, some of their next-door neighbors, good friends, came over. And they said, "Oh, you got a new puppy. What a cute little dog. Oh, but this is a special dog. It's a Christian puppy." And they said, "What?" They said, "It's a Christian puppy. We'll show you." So they did what the owner had done. They said to the little puppy, "Go fetch the Bible." And it ran over and it got the Bible and brought it back. And then he said, "Okay, now open it up to Psalm 23. And the little puppy used its paws and opened it to Psalm 23. And so the next door neighbors, they go, "That's pretty impressive. Can it do the regular tricks that you teach a dog to?" And the husband and wife said, "You know, we were so impressed with all of this, we never thought to ask. So, well, let's find out. Sit." And the puppy sat down. "Lay down." And the puppy lay down. "Roll over." And the puppy rolled over. "Heel." And the puppy jumped up on the couch with its new master and owner and put its paws on the owner's forehead and then bowed its head. And the wife said, "Oh, my goodness, it really is a Pentecostal puppy." Well, some people think that that's what it's about, being Pentecostal, right? Being able to do all kinds of fancy tricks or something. No, you are Pentecostal. And not because you were purchased in a Pentecostal pet shop. You're Pentecostal because you've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because as Jesus promised, John baptized with water, but after not many days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire, with wind and fire. So they had the promise. And the one who speaks the promise guarantees its fulfillment. In other words, the one who makes the promise delivers. And that's what God has done in Jesus Christ. He delivers you and me from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And so they were waiting. But you know what happens sometimes as you wait? People think that waiting means inactivity or passivity. Waiting is a busy time. The early church of 120 people are busy, and they are gathering every day, and they are praying up a storm. And I don't mean a major windstorm unless you want to talk about the Holy Spirit and Pentecost Sunday. They are finding a replacement for Judas, who turned aside from his call. And they are actively waiting for the promises to be fulfilled. The promises that were spoken, for example, by the prophet Joel. Just wait until the last day comes. I mean, it's going to be wind and fire and smoke. The day of the Lord, when God is going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, young and old, men, women, and they're going to prophesy and they're going to dream dreams, and it will be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Waiting for the fulfillment of promises and for God to deliver on his proclaimed word. So they're waiting, and all of a sudden, as all these Jews from all these geographic regions have gathered in Jerusalem for the Pentecost feast to observe, commemorate, and give thanks to God for the Torah, the gift of the law, God's gracious revelation. What happens? Well, it wasn't just a windstorm like this past Tuesday.
It was a mighty rushing wind, and there were tongues of fire resting on the heads of all of the people of the church, and they began to speak, to preach, as the Spirit gave them utterance. They didn't just say whatever came off the cuff. As the Spirit gave them utterance, they began to speak about the mighty acts of God, and the people were amazed, and they were bewildered. What in the world is going on? These are uneducated Galileans. How is it that we're able to hear all of this and understand all of this? So some said, they were curious, so they said, what does this mean? And others, well, they were scoffers, and so they said, they're just drunk. I mean, they can't even hold their liquor. So what does the Spirit do? Because the Spirit, in fact, directs and drives everything in the mission of God's church. So the Holy Spirit fills Peter, and Peter, as a spokesperson for the group, he begins to preach. Now, what's really interesting is he begins by saying, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, these guys aren't drunk. Why don't you take out your Bibles? I mean, can you imagine Peter saying that? Got your Bibles with you, folks? Take out your Bible and open it to Joel. And read those verses and tell me what's going on here today. Oh, the day of the Lord has arrived. And that means that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But only those who call on the name of the Lord. And it's interesting what ends up happening, because from verse 22 on, Peter's sermon is entirely, after he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, Peter's sermon after that point is entirely all about Jesus. Jesus. He points the finger, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. It convicts us of our sin. Peter says, you crucified him, the anointed one. David's son is David's Lord. You put him on the cross. You put him to death, for crying out loud. Your sins, my sins, our sins. But God the Father raised him up. And we are witnesses of the way and the truth and the life. We're witnesses of the resurrection. I mean, it's a beautiful sermon, because that's what the Holy Spirit does, our helper, our advocate. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, brings us to repentance and confession and forgiveness and faith in Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says, because it's the power of salvation for everyone who believes, who has faith in Jesus, to the Jew and also to the Greek. And then in Romans 10, Paul will add these words. Paul says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But how are we supposed to confess and believe if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit? And so the Holy Spirit, this mighty rushing wind of God, is blowing and moving people into proclamation. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach good news. Because faith comes from the hearing of God's word, and what is heard comes from the preaching of Jesus Christ. That's why Luther will say in his meaning to Article 3 of the Apostles' Creed, I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified, and kept me in true faith. In the same way, day after day, he fully forgives my sins and the sins of all believers. The Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies, and keeps us united with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. More power to ya. It's there, but let's face it. that fan isn't going to blow the air. If there's no power, if it's not plugged in, if it's not turned on. Larry Vomhoff said recently, he said, you know, what I've come to realize is you have to wait on the Lord because it's in God's time and God's way. But when God does his part, what about his people? Waiting is not passivity. It certainly is not inactivity. More power to you. Did you know, I read last week about Coca-Cola Bottling Company, 1886. There was a pharmacist named John. And a pharmacist in Atlanta by the name of John came up with this caramel syrupy stuff that he made in the backyard of his house in one of these kettles. And then he would take it down to the drugstore and sell it, and eventually that became the Coca-Cola Bottling Company, 1886. And they had a vision. They had a plan. They wanted everyone on the face of the earth to be able to taste Coca-Cola. Seriously. That was over 130 years ago. And a few years ago, they did an analysis, a study. You know, they can do that and figured out the percentages. A few years ago, they determined that statistically, 97% of the people on the face of this earth have heard the name Coca-Cola. And 72% have actually seen a can of Coke. And 51% of the people on the face of the earth, what's there, about 7 billion people now? About 51% have actually drank some of that sugar, watery stuff. Because they had a vision and a plan and a goal and a dream. Now, compare that to the fact that there are 1.7 billion people in the world that have not been exposed to the good news of Jesus Christ. And compare that to the fact that 1.7 billion, 17 million people die somewhere in the world every year that have never heard the name of Jesus. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. More power to ya. A number of years ago, Tony was invited to speak at chapel. It was at a Pentecostal college, and Tony said yes to the invitation. And when he got there, there were 8 elders, and they all said, we need you to come into the room because we always pray up the one who's preaching. And so they laid hands, and they began to pray. Each one took their turn, all 8 people. And Tony goes, he says, you know, it's interesting because when they're putting their hand on, they started praying, and they really prayed long. And the longer they prayed, the more they were pushing down on my head. But they were praying me up for preaching in chapel. And then he said a strange thing happened. A couple of the guys, when they were pushing down and praying, they started praying for other people. And I thought, well, this is interesting. I thought they were supposed to be praying for me. And one of the gentlemen, he started praying for a man named Charlie Stoltzfus. Charlie Stoltzfus. And the gentleman, as he's praying on Tony, he said, and Lord, you know, this morning Charlie told me that he's going to leave his wife and he's going to leave his 3 kids. And you need to step in and do something about that, Lord. We don't want to see that happen. You need to step in and do something about that. You know who I'm talking about, Lord. And he's praying over Tony at the time. Lord, you know who I'm talking. He said, you know who I'm talking about. He lives in that silver trailer about a mile from here. You know, on the right-hand side. And Tony's thinking, this is nuts. God doesn't need a GPS. He already knows where Charlie lives. They finished the praying, and Tony says, man, he said, I kind of had a bit of a headache, you know, because of all this pressure. And then he went in, He preached at the chapel and everything went fine. He got in his car. He's going to head home. He's on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And he sees somebody hitchhiking, and it's not particularly safe or wise to stop and pick up a hitchhiker. But somehow the Spirit moved him to do it. So he stopped and he said, "Hop in, where are you going?" And they start driving, and Tony's driving, and after about 5 minutes, he says, "My name's Tony, what's your name?" And the stranger, the hitchhiker, he says, "My name's Charlie Stoltzfus." Tony, at the next opportune moment, was able to take an exit off of that turnpike and turned around and started heading back to the college. And this guy says, "What do you think you're doing?" The stranger, this hitchhiker. And Tony said, "I know that you left your wife and your 3 kids, and I'm taking you back home." And the guy thought, "This is strange." And he's kind of hugging the door, you know, in case he needs to open it and jump out, this hitchhiker. And so what ends up happening is Tony gets back there, back by the college, drives this mile down this street, this road, and he pulls over right in front of the silver trailer. And the guy says, "How did you know this is where I live?" And Tony says, "Because God told me." Well, the guy gets out of the car, goes, opens the door. His wife sees him and says, you're home, you're home. And he has her come out. And then Tony's, he's sitting in the car and he's watching. And this guy is whispering into his wife's ear. And his eyes are all large and bug-eyed. And his wife is just, she's thinking, what? And then Tony says, "Okay, both of you in your trailer, and I'm going to talk, and you're going to listen." And Tony said, an amazing thing happened that I never would have expected when they were praying over me that morning and putting some pressure on my head. He said, there was a mighty rushing wind, and this young wife and husband, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they called upon the name of the Lord Jesus, and they got saved. More power to you. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Yeah, it's Pentecost. It's Pentecost. And you, my friends, are Pentecostal. I've got the Spirit, you've got the Spirit, we've got the Spirit, but we don't control the Spirit, and we don't create the Spirit. But by the grace of God, we are clothed with the Holy Spirit so that we too can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so that the lost can be found, and so that the unsaved can be saved. 17 million every year. 1.7 billion that have never heard or been exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. More power to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.